any rate, you might want to mark your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We want to get there pretty soon. You know, we're still involved, even though we don't have the PowerPoint up and all of that stuff going on. We're still involved in keep it a simple sermon, a summer. And that means maybe sermons too. And mine are always simple. But at any rate, keep it simple summer. We still want to continue. And we've talked about Jesus, and we've talked about the Father, and we've talked about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. That was last week. And if you remember, one of the things we said is that the Holy Spirit is just everywhere in the Old Testament. And boy, the more you look at it, the more you'll realize it as you read through things. The Holy Spirit, or just simply the name Spirit, will come up. Spirit of God. God might say, my Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The word Holy Spirit only appears a couple of times in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't in the Old Testament. We know that he participated in creation, we talked about last week. He was there, right there in Genesis chapter 1, hovering over the face of the earth, over the waters of the planet. He was involved, therefore, in creation. We said he's the third member of the Trinity. Spent a little time on the Trinity and talked about that. But one of the most important things that I wanted to emphasize, and I hope it stuck, and I think it might have, I think you knew maybe already, but that is that the entire Old Testament is inspired by God. The ones who wrote what they wrote in recording even the history, but even the poetry and all those kinds of things, parables, all the things that Solomon put in, all of those things were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Peter verifies that in 1 Peter chapter 2, that they didn't speak of their own. And Peter is talking about the Old Testament, that God carried them along by the Holy Spirit. And so what they wrote is what the Holy Spirit carried them along to write. And is that not true with the New Testament? I mean, we looked at that last week too, Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul talking about the things that he knows that he's writing to them. He says, God, I got by revelation. It was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. And when I wrote them, all you have to do is read what I wrote and you will understand what I know that was revealed to me. And so one of the great passages in the Bible that sometimes is overlooked, that's again Ephesians chapter 3 and Paul talking about his inspiration. But we get to the New Testament, and I don't think we have to doubt that the New Testament is absolutely full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is involved in from the very beginning. And I'd kind of like to break it into two parts. The first one is that the Holy Spirit is involved in the coming of the gospel. And then the second thing we'll talk about is the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is involved in the Christian. And we'll look at some of those kinds of things and kind of briefly and, go through it in a way that, does what we did in the Old Testament, kind of gets sort of the big picture. And so when we start, just like we did last, week with the creation, there's the birth of Christ. And with the birth of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit speaking, Gabriel speaking to Mary and telling Mary, because she wants to know, how is it that I'm going to have a child by God? And he says, the Holy Spirit, Gabriel says, will overshadow you. And then what is born in you and what is conceived will be the Son of God. And so we have the Holy Spirit involved at the very beginning in the creation, the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're not finished with him, though. The Holy Spirit is involved even with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the second person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, because we're told in the gospel accounts, somewhere in the gospel accounts, more than once, that Jesus Christ is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's got the whole measure of the Holy Spirit. And so as Jesus goes around with his ministry, he's moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, true, he is the second member of the Godhead, but he is assisted by the third member of the Godhead, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's led, we're told, into the wilderness before his temptation by Satan. And so he's also organizing and guiding Jesus to where he is to go. Of course, Jesus, again, is the second member of the Godhead and knows himself, but the Holy Spirit's right there with him. And he's guiding him and leading him. So in his birth, even in his temptation, the fact that he was filled. But then he talks to his apostles when he's about to leave. You remember in John 14, he talks about he's gonna go to the Father. And one of the disciples, probably Thomas, I think it was, well, said, how are we going to go? How are we going to get there? Because he says, I'm going away to a heavenly place, but you'll come, you'll follow me. Well, how did we get there? And Jesus said, it'll happen. Don't worry about it. You'll get there and you'll be led. But then as he finishes that little discussion, he tells them, but as I go away, I'm not going to leave you all alone. I'm going to send the Comforter to you, which is the Holy Spirit. So he promises the disciples that. He says he's going to guide you into all truth. In fact, when people come before you and they challenge you with things, he's going to give you the words to say to them. And so the apostles didn't have to know a lot of the things that they will eventually be teaching and preaching, because the Holy Spirit will tell them what to teach and what to preach. And so we see the apostles as they go through in the book of Acts, the book of history. We see the Holy Spirit involved in a big way. And that's why I want you in Acts chapter 1. I want in Acts chapter 2. I want you to see here, we're not going to dwell long on this, but I want to see several different things in here. The Holy Spirit has come and has brought the gospel through Jesus Christ. Jesus has passed on to the apostles. Before he ascends, he says, you just go, and this is in Acts chapter 1, and in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. And so Jesus is telling them, he's about to ascend, here's how you're going to get this Holy Spirit that I promised, that this Comforter that's going to come to you, is just go and wait a little while, and in a few days the Holy Spirit will come. And so the apostles, of course, watch Jesus ascend into heaven, and they're all alone for a period of time. They don't have Jesus with them, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If you read a little further on down, you'll notice that there were at least 9 or 10 different nations with different languages there. And as the apostles got up and began to speak to the crowd wondered, well, how is it that they're speaking in my tongue? How is it that I'm hearing them in my language? And so whatever was going on, the Holy Spirit was involved in a miraculous way in what they were teaching, but also in how it was heard by the people. So the message of God, the gospel, begins to be preached in the book of Acts in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit has fallen on the apostles. But it's not finished. The story of the Holy Spirit and the spread to the Christians also happens here in chapter 2. When Peter gets up to preach, he tells them in verse 16, what's happening around you right now is what Joel said. Remember the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, inspired by God. Joel said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Underline that in your mind. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All of that from Joel chapter 2, but application there in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. So Joel knew what was going to happen because the Holy Spirit told him what was going to happen. It happened. And then Peter gets up and preaches and points out that Joel knew that. And so he's, by the Holy Spirit, inspired to repeat this again and to apply it to the day of Pentecost. Well, he preaches on, Peter does. He preaches about Jesus Christ and the fact that he was intended by God to come to them and to die for them for their sins. And then he convicts the people for what they've done in crucifying the actual Lord and Messiah when they did. And of course, we're told by Luke, the writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that they were cut to the heart and they said, what do we do? You know, how do we get right with this thing that we've crucified the Son of God? We've crucified the Lord. We've crucified the Messiah. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And we've talked about baptism. We'll talk about it some other time. But he tells them that, and then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we read this, and when we've studied this in the past, other people have as well, there's always this little quandary. Is that a gift of the Holy Spirit, or is it the Holy Spirit? Well, what would you say? It's the Holy Spirit, not the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gifts will come up down the line in the New Testament, but it's the Holy Spirit himself. The Holy Spirit will come at your conversion into Christ and will dwell within you by faith. The Bible clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit is within you, Christians, right now, and he is involved in your life. And so the history book of Acts begins to unfold with all the apostles. Remember, they've been given the gift in a special way. This comforter is going to guide them into all truth. And so everywhere we see the apostles getting up and preaching, and even some that aren't apostles, so that they become the New Testament prophets, if you will, they're speaking from the Holy Spirit. So the book of Acts is the moving of the Holy Spirit in causing the apostles to spread out into the entire world and to preach the gospel. The gospel that didn't come from them, but came from the Holy Spirit. Go out and preach then. The apostle also led people. Remember when Paul wanted to go up into the northern part of Asia Minor? It was in his intention to go and take the gospel to those people, but the Holy Spirit directed him elsewhere, the Bible tells us. He saw a vision of a man over in Macedonia, all by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us there. And he invited him over to Macedonia. Come to Macedonia and preach to us. It was in the vision. And so that's the Apostle Paul was directed that way. But it's the Holy Spirit who directed him that way. Think about Philip. Philip was, here's this guy on a chariot reading his Bible in Isaiah 53, and he doesn't understand what's going on here. Who is this person in Isaiah 53 that says so many wonderful things and profound things? The Holy Spirit, we're told in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit told Philip to join himself to that chariot. Philip knew to go to the chariot because the Holy Spirit led him there. And so we see in the history, the Holy Spirit is actively involved in the spreading of the gospel. How did Christianity reach the world? Well, guys went and preached. Yes, but behind it all was the Holy Spirit guiding them to do these things. They went where they were supposed to go, and they didn't go, for some reason, places where they wanted to go. They were directed to some other place. So the Holy Spirit was involved in all of this. So when you read the book of Acts, boy, never forget that this is not only just a history of the early church, it is a history that God intended to happen in the early church. And so we go through the book of Acts and the apostles, and the apostles have worked wonderful miracles. They've raised the dead. They've given people back sight. They've cast out evil spirits. They've done all the things of that because of the Holy Spirit that was working in them. The Holy Spirit was involved in the birth of New Testament Christianity. Jesus is behind it as the Savior. and we're buried in, we die with Christ, and we're buried in baptism with Christ, and we are raised to new life. But you know, the Bible even tells us that we are quickened in the Spirit, our spirit, by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who has given us this new birth. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us that we are a new creation. And that new creation comes through our birth in Christ, but the Holy Spirit is involved. He's the one who quickens our spirit and then lives within us. And so sometimes we just kind of, we don't know those things that we don't see in the Bible, or we don't think about, but the Holy Spirit is within us. But let me just back up a minute and talk about, after the book of Acts and the history, all the books of the New Testament. And all the books of the New Testament, of course, are inspired, and all the ones that wrote them, whether it's Paul or Peter or John or James or Jude or anyone else, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but whoever did was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so the Word of God was given to us as Christians to read. And so, if you will, the entire Bible, Old Testament, fully, thoroughly inspired by the Holy Spirit. The New Testament, same thing. Everything you read is what it was intended to be on the pages of your Bible. You know, there are people today that say, well, you know, this book or that book shouldn't be there, or that book or this book should be there that's been put out. Surely God, now, folks, surely God guided the formation of the books of the Bible, not only in the writing of them, inspiring them, but in making sure they were protected for us. And so we have the Word that we can trust, and we could be moved by it. That's why Paul, when writing to the Galatians and the Ephesians, both times talks to them about the need to walk by the Spirit. Surely, first of all, the Word of God, and what the Spirit teaches us in the Word of God. But there's some kind of sense in which the Holy Spirit also speaks to us in some small, subtle ways. I don't mean gives us anything new. Be cautious if the Bible, if the Spirit you think is giving you something new, it's the wrong Spirit. The Holy Spirit never does that. But haven't you been places where you had the feeling that maybe you ought to talk to this person, you know, you don't know why, or maybe you ought to do this, or something comes to mind that reminds you of something? Now, all of that could just be us. It could just be in our mind, but it also could be, and I think is, because the Holy Spirit's within us, God acting on us in some subtle ways in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is actively involved in your life, especially and primarily and what we're taught through the Word of God, but also in some subtle ways as He does things to us, through us, to cause us to do things. You look around at things that happen in your life that you realize perhaps was God kind of holding your hand through those things. And the Holy Spirit is part of that. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. And for example, love is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, forbearance. Boy, don't we need that sometimes. Kindness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things are a fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, where do we get that? From the Spirit. They are the fruit that we find in the Word of God that teaches us, but also that we are affected with Him in a subtle way in our lives. You know, you may not realize that you have changed since you came to Christ, that you have grown in some way, that you have matured, that you're more loving than you were, that you have more joy, that there's greater peace in your life, that maybe you have a little bit more self-control in your life. That's because of the Spirit involved in you as a Christian. Spirit living within you and speaking to you through the Word of God directs you to live those things. And so you are different. You may not think you are, but you are. That's what growth is. The Holy Spirit is involved in even helping you to grow. He leads you and guides you in some ways. Yes, I think, again, very subtle. Again, nothing new. You don't come to church someday and say, you know, God spoke to me and he said, you know, forget about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. Here's what he says now. He'll never do that. You know, the Holy Spirit, of course, would not be involved in that at all. Bible tells us also that the Holy Spirit is a pledge to us. A promise, if you will. Kind of a down payment for that house you're buying, but in heaven. And that the Holy Spirit is God's pledge to you that you are his children and that at some point you will be in heaven with him. Bible goes on to teach us that we ought to be careful because sometimes we can grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's a good thing to be aware of as he dwells within us that, as he's, involved in our daily life that sometimes we give him some grief. Now we're told that the Thessalonians were told not to quench the Spirit. Don't put the fire out in you that the Holy Spirit is. And don't quench the Spirit. Don't blaspheme the Spirit. Now we want to talk about that some other time, but let me tell you, if you're worried about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you haven't done it. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is disbelieving everything that the Holy Spirit has taught about Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate sin. It is disbelieving. It is rejecting what the Holy Spirit has taught. There's more to say on that, but we won't say it right now. But the Holy Spirit can be blasphemed because he's God and can be blasphemed. And we ought to treat God in a holy way. But then we learn in the New Testament that we're given gifts by the Spirit. There's first the miraculous gifts that happened in the first century, and they're no longer with us. We don't have the gifts anymore. Those miraculous gifts, the speaking in tongues and all of those kinds of things. We don't have those today. And 1 Corinthians 13 kind of clears that up for us. It says, you know, when you're a child, you spoke as a child and you acted like a child, but when you matured, you put away those childish things. And that's in the context of telling us what really remains for us is faith, hope, and love. We don't need the miraculous gifts because the three things that are the most important will carry on with us through life and through the rest of Christianity. And so we have that. That'd be a good study sometime, but again, we won't do it right now. But we also have the gifts according to Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4 that are gifts that all of us have in some way or another. You as a church member, as a child of God, have some talent within you that you can serve others with, you can serve the church with. One of them mentioned that comes to mind is hospitality. Some of you are gifted with hospitality. I read recently about a guy that was in his Christianity. He was doing some ministry, and he was doing it okay. He wasn't really great at it. But every time he heard that somebody was sick or in the hospital or something, he dropped everything else and went to visit them. And so he had this one ministry that he thought was his ministry when his real ministry was going and visiting hospitals and doing things like that. Well, yours may not be that, but you got others. And there are other gifts that are mentioned. Administration is another one. Even the gift of giving. Some people are more blessed by God than others in a material way. Isn't that true? And so they maybe are gifted through that to support many great things. And so the Holy Spirit is involved, though, in giving us those talents and those skills. And finally, in Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives and when we pray. Romans chapter 8 is a great little fascinating paragraph where the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit within us knows how to communicate to God the things that you don't know how to say. Or even what to pray. The Holy Spirit's involved and he analyzes what it is that you need to say to God or that you're trying to say to God, and he puts it to God in exactly the right way.
The Bible says with groans and agony as he speaks to God for you. And so he's living within us, and he can communicate to God for us, to God the Father, because he's God the Holy Spirit. He can communicate with the Father for us, and he does it every time we pray. And even sometimes when we're not praying, we're just kind of having wishes and hopes. Surely the Holy Spirit, in a sense, fires off a missile to God to communicate to him what's going on in our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit's awesome. The Holy Spirit is, of course, God. The Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit has inspired the entire Bible, and we can trust it. But he's also living within us, and he does many wonderful things for us. And not only does he regenerate us and bring us to life spiritually, but he keeps us heading in the path that God wants us to be heading in. So thank God again for the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a song here. I'd like to say a word of prayer for us, and then let's stand and sing this song. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you so much for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you now for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way you act in our lives and all that you've done for us throughout history. Thank you for helping to bring the world into existence, for being involved in bringing Christ to this earth, being with those that then spread the gospel, and that all of us, as we believed, and live out our lives as faithfully as we can be, as your word teaches us. Bless us now, and thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.